Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. We're scrubbing in. Tanya.
Happy Monday.
How are you feeling off the Golden Globes?
So good and unslept. So, you know, it's going to be a great show because I like actually can't form words anymore.
We love
do you see what
it.
I wrote? Cecil B. DeMille.
What is that?
So it's this award that went to Jane Fonda at the Globes last night. But for some reason, I don't know if I haven't spoken or I don't know like why I was so nervous, but I was so nervous about mispronouncing stuff at the Globes last night.
For sure. Especially this year. There's so many unfamiliar names this year.
Daniel Kaluuya and yeah, just like a bunch of so. I was spelled Cecil B. DeMille. That's an award that goes out every single year. And yet for some reason I needed to spell it out the way that it sounds like. I don't even know.
I would love to see the real spelling. I'm like,
it's
I don't
like
know.
S. It's like C-I. So does it? C-I-C.
No, Cecil. C-E-C-I-L. B.
Is that not
DeMille,
Cecil?
D-E-M-I-L-L-E.
Cecil B.
Well, in his case, it's Cecil.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
That's why I wrote it like that.
Love that. Well, I do have to say, I mean, I walked into Tanya's place and I was like, listen, I think you had one of the best looks of the whole evening.
That is so
and I
nice.
Say that not even being biased as your best friend. Like I when you because you sent me the dress when you had your fitting.
Yeah.
But you weren't like all, you know, there was no like hair and makeup. And you
no,
still,
the opposite of hair and makeup. I was like
no,
fresh off a run.
But I still was like, oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite dresses. And then when I saw the photo, I was like, this is unreal. Like, Mark, did you, were you thinking the same thing?
I'm
were you overwhelmed by like the look? Yes.
She looks fantastic. She always looks fantastic. I take it for granted
okay,
at this point.
I do it every time there's, every time you do an award show, I go, this is my favorite look yet. You continue to top it. But this one was like,
your favorite?
You shone? You sparkled
oh,
like a diamond.
Wow, thank you. I feel like I have this new mojo in me, like inside. And I want to give credit where credit is due because I'm not really big on like putting together a look. And everything that I thought that I wanted my look to be, they did the opposite, like hair and makeup. Yeah. And it turned out amazing. So like this is one of those things of just trust the people that know what they're doing and are, you know what I mean, like that's
trust the experts
yeah. And let them do their thing because I just gave everybody just said do what you want, I trust you, and I ended up feeling and like really feeling like $1 million.
Did you hear anything? Have you heard anything from Jason how do I say his last name?
Sudeikis.
Have you heard anything from him after your just shout out directly into the screen? The camera lens.
They were like, they said, Jason Sudeikis is watching right now. What do you want to say to him about Ted Lasso? And I just like went off on just a tangent about the show and the character and how like just positive and beautiful it is and how you deserve the, I just like, I went to town.
Yeah.
I have heard a lot from a lot of people about that.
Yeah. But not him, not Jason.
Jason adjacent.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. By the way, Jason adjacent's a fun phrase.
Jason adjacent.
But honestly, it was such a weird feeling because the carpet, like normally the Beverly Hilton is normally swarmed with people. Like mm-hmm. It's just people and you're waiting in your car for a long time just to even get out of it. And it was so empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so interesting. And like Becca was saying, I was searching Instagram to find people's looks because there were not like a lot of people didn't show up to the actual like venue. Most of the celebrities and like actors and actresses were at their homes. And so they were posting photos of their outfits on their Instagram. So it was like almost kind of like a mission to find like what everybody was like looking and wearing. It's not, you know what I mean? Like normally you can just go to one place and find it mm-hmm. all. And it was just not like that.
I applaud them for making it happen. You know, it's so, we're in such weird times and like everything being over Zoom and virtual, but the fact that they're like keeping traditions and like still giving the people the experience, I have to say it was, I mean, I think they did a great job.
I know. And you know what? It's the effort and it's like people are trying and they're making the best out of the situation, doing it safely. And it was entertaining to watch. Did you watch any of the Globes?
Sure didn't. Just saw clips here and there.
I don't. Like, seeing the array of just outfits, some people were so dolled up. And then, like, Bill Murray was chilling in a Hawaiian t-shirt with, like, a cocktail in his hand. And I was just like, the person that got him in front of a Zoom camera that day deserves a trophy.
Yeah.
He looked like he was just on vacation. Like, I don't know.
He's like, sure, I'll hop on. Totally. I'll hop on. Well, I have to say, I, you know, after our conversation last week about Ted Lasso, I gave it a shot. And Tanya's scene that she used as an example to sell me on it came up. I don't think I've never not laughed so hard.
Wow.
I guess, you know what, though? I think it's just a different kind of humor. Like, I really enjoy sarcastic kind of borderline inappropriate humor, and that's very like simple and wholesome humor.
I love wholesome humor.
Yep.
Yeah. But even I was telling Tanya, like when I watch Friends, which is, you know, older, I think it's still, there's this sarcastic undertone to a lot of the humor, like you, especially with Chandler and
it
I think
is
the
still
whole
wholesome. It's wholesome.
It's wholesome, but like
snarky.
It's snarky. Yeah. It's witty. Like every time I watch, I go, God, these writers are just so good. And so when I watch a comedy, I want that feeling where like I laugh out loud, and I didn't get that right off the bat with Ted Lasso. So
So you're going to keep watching and see if you like it more?
So I actually, I watched
you like
it,
a boarded mission.
I watched
you. Said right, yeah, but you said right off the bat, which implies that there's more Ted Lasso in her future.
Well, so I watched it with Haley, and we were both quite underwhelmed.
I feel like Haley would like it.
Okay, but she goes, I'm not opposed to like continuing to give it, you know, let it get going. Because the first episode, the pilot's always, you know, sometimes you don't jump on board right away. And so I took the same approach because y'all aren't the only people talking about how great it is. And so right. I do like to give things a chance, but I will say I was not hooked from the... And then I did not get, I almost felt like I was dumb and missed the joke about the ghost thing. And so
that's the best part. That's the best line ever.
Like I almost felt like it was over my head, which I don't like that feeling. And then I watched it again and I realized it wasn't, it just wasn't that funny to me.
I mean, apparently my pitch worked because a lot of scrubbers DM'd me last week saying that they watched it because we talked about it. And that specific line about the ghost, they were like peeing in their pants laughing.
Oh, good. Well,
there's a lot of people who identify as a Tanya in our Facebook group.
Less than 50%, I'd say, but
I don't know. I think it's pretty, I think it's pretty even.
I think it's even, and I would put a slight edge on the Tanyas in the Facebook group.
I agree. Oh, wow. I think so, too. Like, the Beccas aren't the one who reach out or talk about these things because that's not a personality.
True. Well, because it kind of explains, because you don't love Schitt's Creek either, and I feel like Schitt's Creek and Ted Lasso have similar type humor vibes.
But, okay, so Schitt's Creek, though, a lot of people have told me I need to get through the whole first season, but that feels like a task.
That's daunting.
Yes.
Yeah.
One episode, and I agree with you. Two episodes, maybe I can get through it. But a whole season, that's a commitment to something that I'm not going to like.
I have to say, it does get better, and I am enjoying it. But the first season, it took a while to get going. And yes, that is daunting. That is a gauntlet. If you're not enjoying it, to sit through, 10 hours?
Yeah, it's a lot of hours. But I do want to give a shout out to the people at E! Because I just appreciate them for letting me be me. I really wanted to do this Alexis Rose, Alexis dance. And at the end of the show, last night I got to do it. I did it sitting in my chair because I had a slit up to my
hoo-ha.
So getting on the floor was not going to make TV.
That would have been a viral moment.
It probably would have been a viral moment, but just for the safety of everything. But I just I just love that they let me be me and embrace it. And I just had so much fun. I was like practicing it. And I don't know. I just had such a really wonderful, wonderful time doing the show. So thank you to everybody that watched and everybody that let me do it, because it was just so fun.
I think E! Hires you because they love you. And that is part of like you wanting to do the dance from Schitt's Creek is very on brand. So they're like, they're like, yeah, of course, Tanya, anything you want. Well, so what time did you get home and go to sleep?
That's the problem. So I was like ready to partay last night.
I like, could tell from your stories. I was like, she's ready to go out.
I was like ready to go out. And I almost did. However, I had work this morning. But then I get home and I can't fall asleep to save my life. Like I'm in bed and I'm trying to get myself to go to sleep. I think I fell asleep at like 1:30 or 2. It's not looking good over here.
Okay.
Well, I've always said the best shows when you haven't slept, so I'm optimistic.
So, did you feel like you were just running on adrenaline, or did you think maybe it's the full moon? Because I haven't slept the past 3 nights. Like I'm sleeping in like 30-minute increments, tossing and turning all night. It's driving me insane. But the moon's been a full moon the past 3 nights.
Yeah, I was manifesting on Saturday.
Oh yeah. Okay, she's confirming that there's power.
Yeah.
In the moons. Mm-hmm. But I was so exhausted yesterday. As soon as I lay down to go to sleep, just wide awake. Could not go to sleep. Took 2 melatonins. Nothing.
Huh. I wonder if that could be two-tiered.
I should have called you and been like, let's go party. Let's go celebrate.
I would have been so down.
Because you normally do that after your shows. You normally go out. And
somewhere
then,
at least for a little bit. Because I have the adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then I had a cake. I went back to my room and I had a cake. And so I think the sugar and the adrenaline, I was like,
when was the last time you had a cake?
I had a little bit of cake when we went out to dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah. So I had it. But you know what's interesting today that I haven't had in probably years? A soda.
Ooh, a real one?
Wow.
A real one.
From where?
The fact that you drink that on a regular basis, it literally tastes like you're sucking up poison. Sugary poison.
So I swore off soda 24 years ago. Why did you have soda today?
Because I really wanted a burger. And they were like, you want to drink with that? I said,
Where'd you get a burger? Sure,
why not toss it in there? You want to throw some sprinkles on the fries too? Or what is it? What do they put on the fries? Salt?
Well, yeah.
Sprinkles of salt on those fries? Break it off.
I didn't know salt broke your diet.
Yeah. I don't like a lot of salt.
Yeah, you know, she's tired when she can't come up with the word salt.
Yeah, sprinkles. I'm going to sprinkles on her fries.
I tossed it to Aaron Lynn last night and I said, we're going to have I said chit or something. I completely did the word wrong. I was just like, am I okay?
You just said a chit chat.
Yeah. Chit chat. Aaron with Aaron.
Where'd you get a burger from?
In-N-Out.
I'm proud. What soda did you have?
So I got a Diet Coke.
That is poison.
Oh my. So I really wanted like a juicy, good burger today. Like I was just craving it. And I only had.
There's usually a reason for your craving. Is that.
Yeah, she needs meat.
If remember. I may.
I need some meat, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Low on iron right now.
Yeah. And so it's funny because I really wanted like just something that I haven't had, like something just juicy and good. But then I was searching on Instagram. I put it up on Instagram to get people's feedback. By the time I was getting feedback, I was like, oh my gosh, I have the podcast in an hour. So I just needed to get something quick.
I'm so sad you didn't wait because we could have gone in that Burgers Never Say Die place.
Oh, I should have texted you. So I went to In-N-Out, grabbed up burgers for Aaron and I, and I got said, put up a Diet Coke in there, sir. And I slurped it on up and I was like,
oh, the noise. Add that to Tanya's noise reel.
I can't believe I used to drink Diet Cokes or that people drink it daily.
I don't drink
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of people drink it daily. Yeah.
I've definitely, like, every now and then if I go through a drive-thru or something, I'll get a Dr. Pepper, but I don't do that as often anymore. So Zevia is really my, like,
yeah, soda. Yeah, that feels good.
And adding, like, the Mio cherry drops to the Cola Zevia. Top notch, I'm not gonna lie.
I do want to try that.
Yeah.
It's funny. I feel like I'm super hungover, and I'm not. I didn't have one sip of alcohol last night. Not one sip of alcohol.
Just sober?
Yes. Super Sally. Sober Sally. And I think I'm just tired. I think tired makes me feel hungover.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think everyone can relate to that feeling.
you know.
I do want to talk about, I don't know. I don't even know his name. The guy that plays Big on Sex and the City. Chris Noth?
Noth.
Okay. Noth? I didn't know. Sorry. I don't know how to say the last name. Chris Noth, I think. Or Noth. Anyways.
Mr. Big.
Yeah. Kind of alluded to the fact that he's not going to be on the reboot.
This is when it starts bothering me.
What?
Because they all start chit-chatting and saying different like reports, and then you're just like, which one is the truth? What's really happening on this reboot?
Well, he said, I guess Page Six announced the original thing about him not being on it, and then he said, well, if Page Six says it, it must be true, winky face. And then he said everything changes, including announcements in the rags. Don't know what that means, the rags.
I think that, and by the way, it's according to his IMDb, it rhymes with both. So
oh, Chris
Noth, or Tanya to Chris Nolth. I'm guessing he has a cameo. I'm guessing he, like, you know, they go on whatever adventure they go on, and at the end she comes home to him or something like that. Like, I guess he makes an appearance. That's my guess.
Hmm. Or we watch her, he's...
I gotta say, ever since we talked about this Big and Aiden... in our rewatching it with virgin eyes, I'm very excited to see, because I really think I'm gonna watch it and not enjoy Aiden.
This is kind of reminds me of the Derek Shepherd thing. You know, a lot of people are like,
oh, because we forgot how shitty he was to her in the beginning.
Yeah, and yeah. Like, if it was your friend, would you ever support, you know,
her being with Derek? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Yeah, I love it. I love them together. I love that. Like,
I know you. I forget all the time because we got so entranced in the Meredith and Derek love story. It was beautiful. They were each other's twin flame and lobster and person. And then you go back and you watch seasons one and two, and you're like, he did her dirty. He did her dirty. He did her dirty.
I know.
And she never shed a tear.
Yes, she did.
Well, a few.
Yeah.
She shed tears. Okay, but in comparison, I mean, to like Waterworks over here, she shed like two tears.
No, I think the whole second season, she's shedding tears.
Hardly.
I disagree. I think she really struggled. And I think we witnessed that as viewers.
But I think this is a bigger conversation. I think it's that things that we enjoyed at the time, you watch now with fresh eyes as the world evolves, and you realize, like, oh, that was not okay. And I didn't realize it at the time. There's a bunch of scuttlebutt now about Grease, the original Grease, and how, I don't know, somebody banned it somewhere or something like that, which caused all kinds of people to freak out. But if you watch that movie, Danny Zuko is an asshole. And the message of the movie is, if you want your man, completely change who you are for him. I had to have a talk with my daughters after we watched that movie. Like, you guys know that this is not a good message, right? Like, don't do that. Don't do what she does.
I didn't think about that.
But she did. She did say, you better shape up.
Because I need a man. And my heart is set on you.
Yeah, wearing skin-tight leather pants.
I took it more as like...
teased out hair.
You could
She's
also
all leathery.
Yeah, but you could also take it as like...
leathery. Yeah.
Also, that, but she's wearing leather.
Side note, I think I've talked about this before, but I entered a lip syncing contest to win Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera tickets at
the local
water.
I thought you meant now, like recently. I was like, wait, is this brand new information? Because where was I?
This is when this is when I was in drama class, and I had a huge crush on the drama teacher's son, who was like the lead in all the plays and stuff. And he and I decided we were going to enter at the local, it was called Watertown, a water park.
Did you live in water? Like, what's all with all the water?
No, it's called Watertown. It's a water park where there's like slides. Sick. It's disgusting. And they'd call it Tinkle Town, actually, because everyone like peed in the pool. Anyways, we entered the contest. We only had one competition. She came in strong. She was probably 9, and she lip synced.
No, I think you're right, Becca.
Oh. Yeah. She lip synced Lil Bow Wow. Like Lil Bow Wow. You just don't know the way you move it so fast.
Make you lose control.
And then we did Grease, like you better shape up. And we practiced in a bigger room on like a bigger stage. And when we got there, I swear the stage was like a fourth of the size that we practiced on. So all of our movements had to be smaller.
Grease was like the theme of my sorority. Like when you do recruitment, every day has a different like theme. There was like play day or whatever. And you had to recreate like a play. And ours was Grease. But instead of the Grease letters, it was Theta. The mm-hmm. Theta ladies.
So cute. Instead of the pink ladies. I think
Grease is awesome. I have no issue. The music is great. Everything's great. I'm just telling you, when you watch, someday you're going to watch movies and TV shows with your kids, yeah. And it's going to give you a whole different perspective on the message in it and the world.
But the Meredith and Derek thing is different because we always, no matter when you watched it, even when it was really happening, he was always a dick in the beginning. But we forget because the love story is so strong, you kind of just like forget about it, right. You know, because it's been so many seasons. But then you go back and you're just like, that starting of their relationship was rocky.
It wasn't great. But the Grease thing, couldn't you say, hey, she decided that if she was gonna date him, that she became she got her mojo and her confidence, and she started to feel sexy in her own skin, and she was like, if you're gonna be with me, then you better shape up.
But the point is, why would she want to be with him? He's been awful to her.
Because her heart is set on you.
They had summer loving. They had a blast.
But then she met the real Danny Zuko and she realizes how awful this guy is. She said, bye. Boy, bye.
I know. But you know that
because her heart was set on
someone.
You.
And
tries to grab her boob at the drive-in, that was when she should walk away from that guy.
Listen,
he was disrespectful. He was a boy. And she was saying,
I need a man. And my heart is set on you.
Yeah, and her heart, she had his summer loving.
And you know what Selena Gomez says?
The heart wants what it wants.
True.
And you know what Demi Lovato says?
Yeah, cool for the summer.
No! Oh. Sometimes you have to give your heart a break.
Oh, yeah. You know what Taylor says? The hate is going to hate.
No, these are not the right lyrics.
Okay, you know what Taylor says? You're fearless.
No, that's not it either.
She says, F you, Netflix. That's what she said this morning.
Yeah, so good. Whoa, yes, she did. My friend Taylor retweeted it and said, Taylor Swift woke up and chose violence.
I don't get it.
Like, just like she chose.
Oh, savage. Like,
yeah. She went for it. Yeah, she really did. I mean, listen. I think Taylor's like, quit dragging my name through the... If you want to have a joke,
but
then...
it's not even like... It's not even about her name. And I get... she is the guinea... She is the... Poster child.
Nice.
For the like...
You got there.
Thanks. It just takes me a minute, you know? Like buffering. For the... You know, she goes through men like toilet paper mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's mm-hmm. just like... Guys do that all the time. All the time. And they don't get dragged through the mud. They don't get it brought up all the time. It's like so crazy that she's still living in this thing.
She just writes master songs about these relationships and it makes people feel
threatened.
It's so funny because I had never heard of that show. I have no idea what that thing is. But now everyone knows about it because of Taylor. So that could be the other side. She's drew a lot of attention to the show. But what a stupid joke. It reminds me of that dumb Saved by the Bell. Does Selena Gomez have a kidney? Remember that thing? Like, what's happening here? Like, is this just like 50-something white dudes trying to be young and hip and make current references? Because that's what it feels like.
I don't know, but it's so bizarre. Bizarre.
And she's, Taylor's just like, she does not give two F's anymore. So no, it's not like she's like, just going to take, like, you know, during, especially the last few years.
She's not going to shake it off. No. She's going to fight it off.
Yeah.
She should make a,
oh no.
She should make a follow up to Shake It Off because Shake It Off is just like, whatever, let them say whatever they want.
Yeah.
But now she's not doing that. She is going for it.
The other day, Chrishell from Selling Sunset, and she was on Dancing with the Stars this last season, but she and Keo were dating. He's a dancer on Dancing with the Stars, and they broke up, and the original article was that it was a mutual breakup, and then I guess a source, which by her post it led to believe that he was the source, basically said like, I was 100% in it, insinuating that she wasn't. And she was like, you know, who cares about taking the high road? Normally I take the high road, but I'm over it. Like, I'm gonna
and then
blast
what'd she do?
And she basically was like, I was trying to keep this mutual and keep it like friendly, and you're gonna go and say all this stuff insinuating that I was 100% in it. So how am I supposed to believe you if I can't even trust that you can order a coffee without lying? And I was like, I could have messed that up. That wasn't word for word, but basically she went off, and it is true. Like, a lot of, I'm definitely the type who's like, I'm just gonna shake it, I'm not gonna address it, you know. But I do think sometimes you're like, people just get over it. They're like, I'm not going to be the one who gets my name slandered or look bad so that I can take the high road and not say anything.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think it's hard, I guess, to be in the public eye like that and have everybody kind of like, if he says something, then she says something, it just gets totally, you know, mm-hmm. I'd rather be from my own mouth, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it is interesting when, you know, it's like breakups happen and all that stuff. But then when you start hearing rumors about things that supposedly this person said to this person and then other people that were involved, it gets back to you. And it's just like that kind of stuff starts getting so messy. And I think that's when, at least for me, when people say that, like, oh, you know, this was amicable, or, you know, we left on good terms, and then you just start hearing all of this crap through the grapevine, and it's just like, screw you.
So Becky just gave me the direct quote, but so she said, he basically in the article said that he was really struggling after his mom passed away, and she said, okay,
that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's horrible. But her response was, okay, I truly wanted to keep this drama free, but playing the victim and bringing your mom into it is a step too far for me. Taking the high road is overrated sometimes. I was also 100% in it as well, until revelations told to me recently have made me question if you could even order a coffee without lying. Mm. But anyways, what I was going to say is that Taylor Swift is kind of like, at first, I told you to shake it off. We were going to just shake it off. And now I'm like, no, I'm going to call you out if you're slandering my name or you know, making me look bad or making me feel bad. I'm going to say something.
It's so good. Like, it's so good. We need to get a hold of her and get a song called, not Fight, 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 but it needs to be something like that.
Stand up, stand up, stand up.
Yeah,
stand,
like, no, stand, like, shake stand. It off. Like, what's another shake it off term? Like, shake it off. Throw it down, maybe. That could be a great title.
I'm sure she will. Like, she's just the gift that keeps on giving. Especially if she records all of her old albums and gives us Taylor version of, you know.
That's where she could do, because I'm like, it's not really vibing with the Evermore, you know, situation that we have going on right now. But if she re-records those albums and she could throw a different version of Shake It Off on there, oh, somebody call Taylor Swift Inc.
She really is like the ultimate dream guest. If we could ever have someone that I would just love to chit chat with.
I mean, could you imagine?
Is she number one for Scrubbing In? Your number one guest, if you give one person, you can each pick one. I know Ellen Pompeo's on there. Shonda Rhimes.
Jen Aniston's really high for
Jen
me.
Jen Aniston's a good one.
But everyone laughed at me when I submitted that for my manifestation list.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, okay, yeah, we all have our dream guests. Like, I would say Beyonce, but she's not really realistic, you know what I mean? So it's like, we need to be realistic, I guess, right, in our dreams. You know what, that
I don't know that we do.
Yeah.
Chris Evans in character as Captain America, that's the dream guest.
Okay, so okay,
in character. Okay.
In character. You know who I'd love to have on is Gal Gadot, too, because I just love her. Love her.
Yeah.
I could name a few. I have a hefty list of people who, yeah, sure, maybe they're not in our wheelhouse.
Per se.
I think, you know what, though? I'm going to say this, and then we're going to take a break. I think the Ellen Pompeo thing, if we continue to have cast members come on and they have a good experience, she might come on one day.
Yeah, I think that's in the realm.
For sure.
Or Bailey. I would love
but
to
that. But that would need to be like a big episode for us. Do you know what I mean? Like our, like our 200th or something, like a... You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it should be a celebration podcast.
Yes, it should be a big one. Yes, yeah. Agreed. Yes. Like, maybe if you guys were to win, like, a People's Choice Award or something, we could, like, celebrate that.
Yeah, like, our third People's Choice Award could
Your
be...
Your third People's Choice
yeah,
Award.
Yeah.
Yeah, or we can just start... Yeah, we start the manifestation now, and then by that time, we will have put in some good work.
You know what? I haven't done my Future 15 today. I'm going to write about Ellen Pompeo being on our podcast today.
Maybe I'll start a Future 15 today, starting today.
I'm loving it. I'm not going to lie.
I want to talk about that. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about your Future 15.
Okay. My hair's crusty.
Okay, we are back. So you have been doing the Future 15 since we had Ryan on.
Yes. Sirhant.
Ryan Sirhant. Mm-hmm. Have you had any... I mean, I know you love the... I love you. I know you love manifest... you've passed on your lack of
I know. I'm so sorry. It's probably my natural deodorant. It's so gross. I probably smell. It's just like... I'm a
I don't
hot
smell
mess.
You, but like I don't like you talking about how much you smell. Do you wash your feet at night?
Yeah.
Like you wash your feet every time you shower?
In the shower, yeah. But I shower like twice a day. So I wash my feet multiple times a day.
No, that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
But I tried natural deodorant on the Golden Globes night. I'm like, this is probably the worst idea to try natural deodorant. So I had sweat pads on my dress, like just so that I wouldn't get water on my dress.
Water.
And to the point where I was putting them in during commercial breaks, and I almost forgot to pull them out when we came back once. And I was like, if I had sweat pads on live television,
that would have been relatable. Actually,
oh, yes, really relatable. Tanya, you're thinking about this all wrong.
I didn't. I mean, the fact that I literally had sweat pads, just like folded, they literally like little pillows under my armpits.
Yeah, that would have been viral and hilarious.
That's the most Tanya thing, to try a new natural deodorant the night of Golden Globes.
That was a mess. But where was I going? Oh, my Future 15. Yeah. Okay, so I started with this with Ryan Sirhant, and he said just to think for 15 minutes, but my mind, if I just let it wander it'll go to my grocery list and it'll go to the errands I need to run or the reports I need to write or whatever. It'll just go. So I was like, I'm going to start writing for 15 minutes every day about my future. And I just pick something different every day. So like the other day I wrote about my future Thanksgivings and what those are going to look like, traditions that I want to have. And then it could be anything to work related stuff. So book stuff that I want to do and be very specific. And then the other day I was writing about other traditions that I wanted to do. Like it was a big weekend and I was like, this is what I want to do on this type of weekend. It was more of like things I want to do and feelings that I want to feel and how I want to live my life versus like, I want this car or this, whatever, what I mean? Like things, it's more about feelings and traditions. And it's been so fun and I'm like loving it.
So it's almost like it's almost like a dream journal.
Kind of, yeah. It's like I'm daydreaming and mm-hmm. It's like I'm feeling how I'm going to feel when I walk into my home and what it's going to be like. Like one day I just specifically wrote about family dinners and what those are going to look like. You know what I mean? Like what we're going to talk about and just super what we're going to eat.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are these just format wise? Like your dear future husband journal's address is like second person. You're talking to him. Is this talking to future you? Is it present you imagining it? Like
present
what's the
me.
Format?
It's like me writing it all down like it's happening.
Oh, happening
in
then.
The
yeah. Like I'm pretending that I'm
there
in the moment.
So you're like, it's the year 2032.
Yeah. So I'll start it off and just be like, so depending on how I'm feeling that day, if it's flash forward 5 years or if it's just Thanksgiving, let's say they'll do the Thanksgiving one, I'll write it as it's like Thanksgiving Day.
It'll say Thanksgiving Day 2036, and then
I don't put the year or whatever, but yeah, like this is like these are the traditions that I want to have, and this is kind of what I this is the vibe I want, and this is the kind of food that I'm gonna make, and
specifics are good.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really liking it. It's been so fun.
Well, I have to say, when he was telling us about it, he said that he thinks for 15 minutes or however long, and then he writes down like what he needs to do to get to his thoughts or like his goals. So it's not necessarily like, I think everyone can do it their own way in journaling.
Yeah. And like, also there was something like, I really want to, when I was journaling one day, it's always been something I've always wanted to have some sort of, I've always wanted to not work with my partner, my husband or whatever. I've never wanted to like specifically work with him, but I want to have some sort of project with him. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, I've always wanted to have like a side thing that we do together as a team, as a couple. And so a few of the days I've actually been focusing on that. And it is interesting because I think it does kind of change the direction of who I want in a partner. You know what I mean? Like, I want a partner that wants to do that with me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right. So it does kind of give you subconsciously a little direction in your life, because you're like, oh, like these are the things that I want to do. And I don't know specifically exactly what that is, but it does kind of guide you in the direction that you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hard to fill the 15 minutes, or does that alarm? Do you set an alarm?
Yes, yeah, an alarm. It goes by a blink of an eye.
Blink of an eye. Do you ever just keep going?
No.
Go right by it? No. Strict.
Strict.
Yeah, it's a strict cutoff. It's a strict cutoff.
Finish the sentence you're in the middle of and then put it down.
Yep.
Interesting.
Speaking of alarms, I was at a friend's, like, it was a social distance lingerie shower in the park yesterday.
Oh, cute. Oh, we have to get lingerie.
Oh yeah, for our shoot.
Yeah.
And one of my friends had to go, and so she set an alarm, and I was like, I'm doing that everywhere I go from now on. I'm just gonna have an alarm go off so that if I'm ready to go, I'm like, oh, I set an alarm because I have to be out of here.
For what though? You have to a thing. You can just set an alarm.
No, I can be like, oh my gosh, I have to work thing, you know. But like, if I'm having a good time, I'll be like, oh, I just set that, just, you know, and just as a reference. It's a great plan.
I don't love it. It's a little shady.
Really?
I don't think anyone's going to buy it.
Yeah, I would. I'd be like, where are you going? What do you need to do?
Oh, got a work thing. Oh, sorry.
Okay, I'd be more confident. I would have a plan. Like, I'm going to come up with what I have to go do when my alarm goes off based on where I go when these social events can, you know, happen again.
This just sounds terrible because, in my opinion, it's like those people that do that if they're, you know, going on a bad date and they're like, call me in 30 minutes. But it's like that you're just setting yourself up to like not have fun.
No, and you're also just prepared for everything.
If you say to them, oh, I just said that because I was going to leave if you guys sucked. But it turns out you don't suck, so I don't have to lie to you. Like, that's a weird thing.
No, but I wouldn't. Well, first of all, I'm not going on any dates, so I'm not really worried about that aspect. Mine's more of like being at a social event where I'm just kind of like, I could do more at home. I could have more fun at home. And then my alarm goes off and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I said that. Like, otherwise I'd be late for my blah, blah, blah. I think it's genius.
I just think it's setting a negative vibe for the party.
No, I'm just setting a prepared vibe for the party.
It's so funny because everybody asks me, like our mutual friends that we have, they'll be like, how's Becca doing? And I'm just like, thriving in quarantine. Yeah. Like, truly, quarantine was made for the Beccas of the world.
Like, literally, sometimes I feel the pressure to be like, oh, you know, it's hard, but like,
it's so I'm getting hard through being at it. Home.
But now,
hate watching TV.
Yeah, I hate just like, oh, I hate being at home, not having to go to any, like not having anything to go to. But now I've just kind of accepted that I am thriving in quarantine. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, it's been pretty nice. Well, now with like things opening up a little bit and being able to like go outside and have a dinner every now and then kind of really makes that I'm just thrilled. Like, I couldn't be happier with how things are right now.
You may be eating indoors in the next couple of weeks in LA County.
Oh, really?
The numbers are getting really close to being able to do that.
I can't even tell you like the amount of things I used to do in a day. I don't even know how I did it because I run two errands and I'm like, oh, I'm exhausted. Like, been out of the house for quite some time. Like, woof, got to really hunker down tomorrow. Got some stuff to do in here. Like, it's so wild.
I know. Yesterday it was probably literally maybe the busiest day I've had since quarantine started, but I went and saw two houses. I had that shower and then I ended up driving down to Newport to have a dinner with my sisters and then drove up, and I was like, that's what I'm saying. I was so exhausted. I had jeans and heeled booties on all day. I was like physically exhausted, and then I get in bed, I'm just like,
oh yeah, like the minute we finish this podcast, I'm literally gonna probably just go straight to bed after, because that's how tired I am. And I'm like, I only did one show yesterday. Like, I literally did one show for Grammys. I'm doing two.
Just so you know, it's 3:50 p.m. in the afternoon where we are, and she's going to go to sleep after this, just so you have a reference of when Tanya's going to go to bed.
I'm going to send the file for this audio to Easton and Mark. I'm going to send Mark my trending reports for the morning show, and I will be bed, showered and in bed.
Watching TV or, like, actually asleep?
Asleep.
Oh, my God.
I'd say by 7. Easy.
Well, I can't say the same. I have some work stuff to do after this, and then I'm going to watch The Bachelor, but like, I don't even feel excited about The Bachelor anymore. Like, this season has like made me not feel excited anymore. So I might skip it. Skip it and watch Ted Lasso again.
Let me tell you, throw on some crotchless panties and watch Ted Lasso, and you know that's a great Monday night. It is a great.
Oh my gosh, speaking of,
crotchless panties.
No, but when I was getting the lingerie for my friend, they had like some sex toys and like vibrators and stuff. Cute. And they had the vibrator underwear.
There's vibrator
underwear?
Yeah,
and it's like remote controlled. Have you seen what's the Ugly Truth?
No.
With Katherine Heigl?
No.
And Gerard Butler?
No.
And she has him on at a business dinner, and then this little kid gets the controller because she drops it, and he's like going up and down with like the level of intensity, and she's trying to like have a serious conversation with the people that she's having dinner with, and she's like, oh.
No, but those sound delightful.
So I was like walking out the door when I saw them, and the girl, it was like a small store and she was helping another customer, so I didn't really feel like waiting around. But if any of you listening have tried the vibrator underwear, I am curious, because it feels a little like gimmicky, you know, but
I know. I would imagine. I just would imagine. Like, when would I put those on?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if you were going to be, like, kinky and go to dinner and your significant other was like,
let me tell you, I got some plans. Girlfriend's got some plans this week. You know what I'm saying?
Plans for what?
I'm hitting the town.
What? Who? With who and where?
Just a lot of things. So the problem is, like, before award shows, I put everything off. I'm like, I have globes on Sunday. I can't. Like, I literally was locked in this apartment for, like, mm-hmm. Yeah. A week before, and now I'm just like free willy.
Free willy nilly
for 1 week, and then I have Grammys.
Okay, so you're gonna rage this week.
Yeah,
I want to rage.
Come on, grab your vibrating underwear and come on over.
I want to hear more feedback about this before I invest.
Is it for a long distance relationship, or the remote's like in the room?
Like, I imagine that it's like if you go to dinner with your significant other, and it's like kind of like foreplay.
Yeah. I think it's more like that.
I don't think the range is that great on those things.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, long distance, Mark. You have an idea there. I'm listening.
I feel like we've talked about those before on the show, that some sort of long distance and a way to stimulate your partner across the internet.
Yeah, Becca and I got those, but friendship bracelets. They were friendship, remember?
Yeah, you wear them on your wrist and they vibrate your wrist. That's it. That's all we use.
Well, if you can do that, you can do the other one.
Right, I agree.
The technology exists.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, like the best friend bracelets. I mean, I guess you can use them if you're in a relationship, but you like double tap or triple tap to say certain messages. So like, I miss you. You could do like three or whatever. I guess you could do the same with like underwear. You just like tap, tap, tap.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah. We should have somebody. What's our email? iHeart. Scrubbing in iHeart.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like there's something in there, but it's not computing with my mouth.
We do like 11 podcasts. None of the hosts have ever once remembered the email address.
I remember once. It's scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com.
Yes. Oh. Or iheartradio.com. It's your pick. They both go to the same place.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I'm actually really interested to see if anybody emails about that.
Well, speaking of emails, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I have something I want to talk about.
Oh. All right.
Well, I think we all can agree that we're going to be wearing masks for a while. Even with the numbers going down, it's important to have the right mask. So protect yourself and others. The N95 respirators can provide a huge upgrade to your current mask. There are fakes and there's counterfeit versions, so you want to be sure you have the approved version. Secure components guarantees 100% authenticity. I actually use the N95 mask, and now I'm wondering if I have the right one. So I think I'm going to have to double check that.
And I was thinking about how spring break is coming up and people might be traveling on an airplane, or they might be going into close quarters, into a supermarket where you just can't be 6 feet apart. And this N95 mask would be really, really handy at that moment.
And Secure Components is a trusted source and provided support PPE needed for frontline workers, and they are now available to the public. So go to securecomponents.com to order masks for you, your friends, and your family. Or your business at securecomponents.com. I'm not kidding. My N95 mask has made a huge difference because they're not flattering. They go out like a beak, but you have so much more room to breathe.
Is there a flattering one? Like, who cares? Just put a mask on.
Well, I'm saying like some people try to match their mask and stuff, but it's like fine.
I've never been one of those. I want to be. You know,
you strive to be.
I strive to be a mask matcher, and I'm just not there. You know, it's like Jason Sudeikis adjacent.
Jason adjacent. Okay, so now that we've talked about mask, we have important email business to take care of.
This is from Lakin, which is a name I've always really liked. Lakin.
I've never heard that name.
Pretty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lincoln. I just got out of a 2.5-year relationship less than a month ago. We ended things fairly amicably. We've texted a couple of times since the breakup, with the most recent being last week. Then on Super Bowl Sunday, his dad posted a picture on Instagram of him cozied up to some girl I've never seen. I instantly started crying because it makes me feel like I meant absolutely nothing to him if he can be with someone else so quickly. Especially when he asked me less than a month ago if I'd be willing to get back together one day. How do you work through feeling like you meant nothing to someone you loved so much? This is Olivia Rodrigo.
Girl.
And I know we weren't perfect.
I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm just going to go out on that little branch and just. There's no greater pain than feeling when you love somebody, feeling disposable to them. That is heartbreak. And I don't even have advice for you because it truly just breaks your heart into pieces and it makes you question everything. And I literally don't even have advice because that's the worst feeling. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, and I think we can all say that we're sorry that you're going through this and feeling this. I would ask him to stop reaching out to you or block him, because if he is just wanting to date around and do what he wants and then expects you to wait around to get back together with him, then that's not your responsibility anymore, and you deserve the freedom to move on. So I would say I'm struggling right now, and your text to me asking if we're going to get back together when I see you hanging out with other girls is too painful, and I need to move on.
Yeah.
So I mean, respectfully, please leave me alone.
I don't even think she's saying, like, she's not even saying how to respond to the guy. She's just like, how do you cope with this pain? You know what I mean?
Like, well, I think it's just time. I mean, I don't think there's any like cure for this type of like.
There is something heartache about that, though. Like, you know, when you hear, I guess in her case, she saw a photo. But when you hear things about your ex, like moving on, I think it can be so gut-wrenchingly painful. And like, it's almost like you just kind of have to feel the pain, almost like let it hit you like a bullet and then just carry on. You know what I mean? you'll heal. It's a wound. It's going to stick with you, but like you just pick up and you move on.
I don't know if this is helpful or not, but a lot of, you know, men and women cope differently. And a lot of men cope with getting into another relationship quickly because whatever reason. I did this once, not proud of it. I was with a girl 6-8 months and we broke up and it was very hard for both of us. And then I started dating someone very quickly. And my ex called me one time and she could tell that I had somebody over and she was very upset. And she had every right to be. But also I hadn't done anything wrong necessarily. And it didn't affect my feelings for her. It didn't, my ex was still an open wound. But the way that we kind of deal with it is to start talking to other people. Now, this woman might mean nothing to him. It might have been the first or second date just because he was close to her on the couch. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean he doesn't miss you and he's not still hurting over you. But we cope differently. You guys cope with sad music and wine and tears, and guys cope by trying to get back on the horse as quickly as possible and meeting somebody else because we just process feelings differently or don't process feelings. And so I think he's just trying to get on with his life, and I don't think it's as personal, and I don't think you're as disposable as he's made you feel.
But if he's the one who's reaching out asking if she can see them getting back together, why is he taking the risk of doing further damage if that's what he wants?
All he did was sit next to the girl on the couch, right? They were just cuddled up together on the couch. We have no idea how far along.
Okay, but cuddled up with the family after you're texting her?
Yeah.
Like, he's still texting her.
I don't know why he's still texting her. He shouldn't be. That seems wrong because then he's got two that he's kind of stringing along. But also, he's probably just keeping his options open.
Well, like, and whatever he's doing, it's you're in control of how you handle this from your perspective. And I think you just, like Tanya said, you let yourself feel the pain and the hurt. Distractions only distract for so long before you're forced to feel the hurt and the pain. It's going to come up at some point. So just let yourself feel it and know that, unfortunately, time, even though it sometimes feels like it moves so slowly, it does heal. And that is, I think,
almost like use it to your advantage in a weird way. You know what I mean? Like, I think obviously breakups are so hurtful and so they're really hard. But if he's doing something that is making you feel this way and the hurt has turned into disappointment, and the disappointment is so different than hurt, because it's just like, this was somebody that you loved and you held on a pedestal. And then when they start disappointing you and treat and doing things in a certain way, that makes it just, I feel like it just changes that person for you. So it's just kind of moving into that new season, that new direction, seeing that person in a different light and using it to your advantage, because it's true. Like, you can't control what he's doing. You can only control yourself. So use it to your advantage in your moving on process.
All right, let's do another one here from Anonymous. I grew up in a pretty strict Christian household and still have those beliefs now. One topic that has always been a hard and confusing one is sex. I always thought I would wait until marriage, until I fell in love and lost my virginity to my now fiance. We have been together 4 years, and the guilt of having premarital sex is still an issue for me and something that has caused a lot of anxiety. Long story short, we have not had sex in over a year because of how guilty I feel. He says he understands and does not want to make me continue to do anything I feel uncomfortable with. Obviously, he's a keeper, but I feel horrible withholding sex from him after we already brought that into our relationship. You ladies are both openly Christian women, yet still have a healthy sex life. How do you balance the two without feeling guilt?
You want to go?
Okay. To me, being a Christian is not, it's about being, it's hard. It's, I don't know how to, it's like, how do I explain this thoughtfully when I'm like sans sleep? To me, being a Christian doesn't mean X, Y, Z. It's like, you don't just put Christians in a box and say like, you can do this, you can't do this. The Bible, like if you really read the Bible, you can come up with something for everything. You know what I mean? Like, women aren't supposed to be doing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's, you can really make a rule for anything. And so for me, being a Christian is about my relationship with God and my faith in him and his purpose in my life. So I pray a lot. I lean on prayer and I live in a hopeful place because I know that that's my relationship with God. So for me, I never had this guilt or pressure in terms of my sex life, because I never had that where I'd wanted to be a virgin until I was married. But for me, for Tanya purposes, I knew I couldn't have unattached sex. So that was just something that I had to like learn about myself through the process. And it was almost like a pact I made with myself, you know, like, don't put your heart and your body in this position until you're really, really ready. And this is a man that deserves it. So for me, it was always treading the water lightly in that aspect, because it was what's best for me, Tanya, not because of my relationship with God.
Yeah, I...
Did that?
No, it sounds good. Okay. I like that. And I don't think there's a right answer. Like, I think we all have our own... I literally can't think of any word other than journey, and I hate using the word journey, but we all have our own journeys that we go through with certain things in our lives. And I think this one always continues to come up in a lot of the emails that we get. And I grew up in a Christian home, and I still consider myself a Christian. And I was going to wait until marriage. And I've talked about this before, but there was a lot of guilt, but it was on me. Like, it was never, I felt like God wouldn't love me or God wouldn't approve, or my family didn't even like really push me to do that. Like, they just, it was my decision, and it was also my decision to lose my virginity. And so I think it's, first of all, I want to say you have a really good guy. You have a really good man, because there's a lot of men who would
shout out.
Yeah. Shout out to him. Because a lot of men would be like, wait, you've already given this to me. How are you going to take it back? But it is your body and it is your decision. And I have a few different friends who have brought sex into their relationship and then made the decision to wait until marriage. So if that's what you want to do, I would have that conversation and let him know.
You know what's interesting, though? Guilt. Because you use the word guilt, and that really kind of triggers me, because I think guilt is such an interesting thing, because it's put on by something other than yourself. And I think at the end of the day, you deserve just as much as we all deserve to be happy and to live freely and do the things that make us happy. And being in a place of freedom is a beautiful place to be. And so I struggle so much with the term guilt, because it's like it's pressure from some sort of outside something, whether it's a person or society or whatever church, that's put on you. That isn't, you got to go with what makes you happy. Like, life is short.
I have just kind of gone down this path of like watching and listening to certain things that talk a lot about how unhealthy purity culture is and how it's done a lot of caused a lot of hurt and damage and caused a lot of guilt and shame in people's lives. And I don't think that that is of God. Like, I just don't believe that. That comes from people, that comes from human who are imperfect. But I would like really just think about what you want and not let the outside perspectives or opinions or beliefs of what they want you to do guide your decision. If it's your decision, it's what you want to do, I think it's beautiful. I think you wait. I think you have a conversation with this wonderful man you're with, but make it about you and what you want and not about the guilt you feel from outside sources. Because I'm with you. I don't like the guilt. I have experienced a lot of guilt, and I don't want to feel guilt
over
anymore.
Hashtag over it in 2021.
I need Taylor to write a song called Anti-Guilt.
Freedom. Freedom is such a beautiful place to be in, because when you're in freedom, you can really experience happiness.
Yeah, it's true.
But you found a good one, and that's half the battle. So good for you. You know, I've always said that the best way to figure out what's in a guy's heart is to remove that from the equation and see what happens.
He sounds like a Easton Mark type.
Yeah, honestly. Which we love.
Nice. Seriously, like, hearing that is like, that's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to respect you no matter what you decide. But I know a lot of that guilt, especially growing up in the church, that can be very heavy, and it can cause a lot of shame and a lot of pain. And I don't think that's how we're supposed to live our lives.
No, sir. Shame and pain? No. Mm-mm. No, sir. Not here.
Well, I kept thinking if she's going to add another.
Guess who's not gonna, guess who's not experiencing pain and shame? This girl. Or
I'm,
guilt.
I'm working through it. I can't say I'm fully free, but I'm working through it.
Happiness.
This is where it starts to go.
I know. I don't like, do we keep going so we get some good Tanya content or do we let her off the hook? Okay. So
That was all
we have. That's all she wrote.
That was sage advice. Sage?
I thought so. And we are 10 days from the return of Grey's Anatomy.
See, I told you guys, blink of an eye. Did I not?
Okay, well, in our defense, January lasted like 14 months, and then February was like a snap.
Was it though?
Yes.
An afternoon?
It was so fast.
Let me tell you, February was not fast.
I mean, think of how fast this year's gone, don't you think? We're in March again. The whole world shut down, and it was March, and now we're still stuck in our houses, and it's March again. I feel like that went fast.
A year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did go fast.
There were the whole year of it feels fast, but like in the months, the trenches, there were some long days.
There were some long days in February, I will say that.
Of this month? This last month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some long ones.
Yeah. Well, it went by fast.
Some valleys though.
Peaks?
Peaks and valleys. Some peaks were nice though.
Okay, what were some of your peaks of February?
The Globes.
Okay. Really ended it on a high note.
Really
right under the wire there.
I met some cool people in February.
Oh yeah, Becca. Becca the doula.
Oh yeah, Becca the doula. I met Becca the doula in February.
Hold on, wait, I have to talk about this. Did you see this like dark theory that one of our scrubbers wrote? That Becca the doula listens to the podcast, and so she wanted to get close to Tanya, and then so she said her name was Becca because she knew Tanya would be so excited about that, and then she like tries to get close. It's like a swim fan kind of thing.
Swim fan.
But I know her social account and her name is really Becca.
So you think anyone can have a social?
Until you see a birth certificate, I wouldn't be so sure.
I forgot I have to set up that date. That needs to happen.
Yeah, I'm gonna be studying her now. They got that in my head. I'm like looking, got my eyes on the doula.
I'm on board
with
that theory. I am on board.
Yeah, because you love fan fiction, Easton.
I do, and I love swim fan. So anytime swim fan gets brought up, I'm just here for it.
It doesn't get brought up enough. Hive. Yeah, I agree.
It does not.
No.
It does not.
I don't even know what that is. Sounds dark.
It is dark.
My friend Allie always says her dog is like swim fan because she always looks across the room and he's like staring at her like around a corner. So
who was in that? Was that Erica Christensen?
Yes.
And it's a basic stalker thing, right? Like high school age, college age stalker.
Oh my gosh, Becca the doula is not a stalker. She's so cute.
This is just
she's just infatuated. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, 2002. Oh my gosh.
I think Tanya might be the swim fan of the Becca and the Tula Tanya relationship. Yeah, I actually think it's the reverse theory.
It's true because it was almost like my first taste of like meeting or like how I used to be where I was just out and about and I met people, you know, out in the wild and just really connected. Like her and her fiance are just the coolest like power couple. Like, do you know what I mean? You know when you like meet couples and you're like, I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
They're the type to have a side hustle, those two.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Like they probably have a side thing going on together, huh?
Yeah. Like some sort of venture together.
Mm-hmm.
For sure they do. Oh, for sure they do. Cause she's like super cool in her own like doula world and he's like really cool in his world and they probably have some.
Like a charity or something.
Charity together. Yeah, for sure. Oh my God. It's going to be so cute when I can have a double date with them.
Yeah, Tanya's a swim fan for sure.
Yeah. Now I'm like, wait, our scrubber needs to readjust the theory because we now have the answer. It is a swim fan situation, but it's not Becca.
It's me.
Okay, on that note, we're going to go. Hope you all have a wonderful week. We will be back next Monday, which will that be the week of Grey's Anatomy return?
Yes, Grey's return week. Yes.
It's going to be a good week. Can't wait.
It's going to be a great week. I told you it's going to be there like a blink of an eye, like a flash of a stat.
Okay. So we got to put her to sleep.
Yeah, she got
her to sleep after this.
We got to go.
All right. We love you all. Have a great week. Be nice to each other.
I feel like there's something really big we're forgetting, though.
I'm glad that popped up in your mind at the
very end.
Literal last
there
second.
There is something, and I don't know how to jog my memory. It's like, what did we miss?
Lady Gaga's dogs?
No.
I'm just going through the headlines.
I know.
That was pretty crazy, though, because I got the notification on my Citizen app that a dog walker was shot. And then I was like, that's so scary. It was so close to me. And then the next day it was Lady Gaga's dogs. Luckily, they got the dogs back and the dog walker is on the mend.
I was going to say, I think happy I've been ending. Seeing a lot of butterflies lately, but that's per
that's
usual.
That's not it. I don't think that's significant.
I mean, it is significant, but it's not
significant. It's very significant.
All right. Well, we'll touch on this.
I'll
next
noodle
week
on it. Yeah. I'm going to noodle
there's
on it.
There's a street right near us there's a bunch of houses at the top of this hill, and they call it a monarch butterfly sanctuary. They have signs up and everything. And sure enough, you look around, you see a bunch of them, and they put out special, you know, nectar or whatever they like to eat. And so they warn you that you're entering a butterfly sanctuary, the homes on this block. I feel like you should live in one of those.
For sure. I went to brunch the other day. You guys, they sit us at this table. There are three paintings of butterflies on the wall next to us. So just three stagnant butterflies. Then they bring out our food. My food is on a plate with little butterflies on it. Mine's the only plate with the butterflies on it.
You went to a butterfly-themed restaurant.
No, it was not butterfly-themed at all. It was very nice.
It's called Mariposa.
I was just like, my plate has butterflies on it, and your plate is just a white plate with just nothing on it.
When Easton goes to Cheesecake Factory, he doesn't freak out because he loves cheesecake. It must be some sort of a sign.
I'm just telling you guys.
Well,
it's talking to me.
Yeah. Did you know there's a butterfly, like, little museum in the Singapore airport?
That sounds cute, though.
Yeah, it's like you go in, they're just like flying everywhere.
Have you ever been to one of those, Tanya?
No.
Oh, can you imagine the content she'd get?
Oh my gosh, Taylor Lautner.
You just stand there and they land on you.
Yeah.
What?
Oh yeah, they're all over. We should look one up and see if there's a that'd be.
But
fun.
I would need to like stumble. The whole thing is, it just they stumble on my path, so I can't seek them out.
But maybe if you had a half a dozen butterfly perching on you at any given time, you would have some sort of revelation.
I could use a revelation.
Yeah.
I could use one of those.
Guidance. Right. Your path would be revealed.
Yeah. Because that's the whole thing. Like, I'm not supposed to seek them out. I'm supposed to let them come to me. Like,
All right. Well, on that empty note, we're going to go.
I'm going to noodle on what I was thinking about.
Okay. You noodle on that, and we'll noodle on out of here, and we'll see you next week.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.